You know, there's many wonderful pictures of salvation in the Bible. It starts in the book of Genesis in the second or third chapter there, where the slaying of the animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness is a picture of how God covers sin. The flood and the ark that Noah built to save the folks from destruction of the flood is a picture of salvation. The Passover lamb and the death angel, when he saw the blood on the doorpost, passed over the house and did not go in to the home in Egypt and kill the firstborn, is a picture of salvation. The disease of leprosy that they had no cure for, that only a divine act of intervention could heal that disease, is a picture of sin and how God sometimes works to, it sometimes work to heal it, pictures salvation. And then the prodigal son, the runaway son in Luke chapter 15, and how he's welcomed home by his father is a wonderful picture of salvation. All good, all meaningful, all things, that stories that we can understand that help us understand more of salvation. But I'll be honest with you, I've never been in any of those situations. I've never had to kill an animal for clothes. I've never been in a flood. I've never been in a place where the death angel came and I depended on blood on the doorpost to save my life. I've never had leprosy, and I've never been a runaway son. Oh yeah, I went down to the end of the street a couple times and spent an hour, but I didn't get very far from home. So I've never really been a runaway son. So all those are wonderful pictures of salvation, but it's hard for me to personally identify with any of them because I've never experienced any of them. But the picture of salvation that Jesus paints in John chapter 3 is a picture that I can identify with. It's a picture that everybody can identify with because he paints a picture of salvation using birth. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And today I preach on the subject, ye must be born again. And I've divided it into a two-part message. I have 4 points I want to make this morning, and then I'll come back tonight and from the same scripture make 5 more. But this morning I want to point out 4 things to you that physical birth reminds us of spiritual birth. 4 things that are associated with physical birth that paint a picture of what we have with spiritual birth when we are born again. Number 1, the only way to have life is to be born. And again, now I know, you know, some of my sermons are deep. This is a deep point. Listen, the only way to have life is to be born. We are not manufactured. We are not cloned. I know they're working on that, but I hope it never comes to pass. The world can't take more than one of you or me. So, but we are not cloned. We are not hatched. We are not contrived any other way. We are here today and we have human life because we were born. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, the same thing is true about the kingdom of God. And I want you to know and remember that Jesus was the prince of that kingdom of God. Part of the Trinity. The only one that really has experienced it, that could come and talk to us about it and encourage us to become part of it. He said, the only way to get to heaven, the only way to get eternal life, the only way to get into the kingdom of God is to be born again. Now, those that divide up things and keep track of things, they divide the world into 5 different kingdoms. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But there's the mineral kingdom, there's the vegetable kingdom, there's the animal kingdom, there's the human kingdom, and then there's the divine kingdom, or the kingdom of God. I'll point out to you this morning that no mineral can become a human being. No vegetable can become a human being. No animal can become a human being. The only way to become human is to be born human. And the only way to become part of the kingdom of God is to be born into that kingdom through Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, why don't marvel? Why would you marvel that I say you must be born again? You know that the only way to become a human is to be born a human. Why would you marvel? Why would you have to think about it very much that the only way to become part of the kingdom of God is to be born again? So, number one, the only way to become a human is to be born a human. The only way to become a member of the kingdom of God is to be born again. Number two, the birthee has no part to play in the birth. The birthee, that person that is born, has no part to play in the birth. The birth of any human being is an act of God using mom and dad. But you, as the birthee, had no part in it. I mean, you weren't on the scene and convinced your dad to ask your mom to marry him. You weren't on the scene to convince your mom to accept that proposal. Even when you were born, you did not push your way out of the womb. Mom did all the work, and dad did all the worrying. But when you were born, amen, Junior, right? Amen. All right, amen. But when you were born, it was a divine act of God. A work of God when you were born, just as much as it was a work of God when in the Garden of Eden he created Adam and Eve. And I don't have time to say much about it this morning, but that's why abortion is wrong. That's why abortion is sin. We're meddling in God's business. Every little baby that is conceived is an act of God, a work of God. And when we take God's work into our hands and destroy it, we are into God's business, and God makes it very plain in the Bible that we're supposed to stay out of his business. And so the birthee that is born into a human birthee has no part to play in their birth. The same thing is true about the second birth. We have no part to play except receiving the gift that God has given us, no part to play in that second birth. It is a divine act of God using Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You did not think of this plan. John, the writer of John, did not think of this plan. No man thought of this plan. It was God's plan before the foundation of the world. He knew before he created the first human being that we were going to fall into sin. He knew that there was going to be a penalty for that sin. And that penalty was death, separation from him. And he knew that somebody had to pay that penalty. Either we had to pay it, or somebody that had no sin had to pay it. And that somebody that paid the price for our sin was somebody that had no sin. That somebody was Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. And the Bible says that after Jesus offered up his life and paid for our sin, that even then we had nothing to do with it because it was the Holy Spirit that draws us to God. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that woos us to salvation. The Bible says that we would not come unless we were drawn. We would not come to that salvation. We would not come to that Savior unless God draws us. And so you see, God did everything. He provided the Savior. He draws us to that salvation. And just like a little human baby has nothing to do with their birth, so we have nothing to do with the second birth except receiving the gift that God offers to every single person. Number three, birth is complete. You don't have to go back after you're born for more parts. Amen? I mean, when you're born, you don't have to go back later to get your ears. When you're born, you don't have to go back later to get your fingers. When you are born, it is done. You have everything that you're going to get. So it is with spiritual birth. When we are saved, it's done. It's complete. It's not a process. It's a transaction that is done all at once, and there is nothing that we need to add to it. When Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished," what he was saying is that everything that needs to be done for salvation is done. There's nothing that anybody needs to add to it. Now, listen, I know that after we're saved, we're supposed to grow and mature as a Christian. I know after we're saved, there are some things in our life that ought to change. But when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, we are just as much saved then as we are 20 years from now as a growing, maturing Christian. The thief on the cross only knew Christ for a few hours before he died. But he was just as much a Christian as the Apostle Peter was or the Apostle Paul was, who gave most of their life to God. He was just as much saved as anybody was. Now, I think you ought to get saved when you're young. I mean, Adam's back in the back, and he's preaching salvation to little boys and girls. And I rejoice when one of them gets saved because they have their whole life to give to God. But I want to tell you something this morning. It's never too late for anybody. God will save you no matter how old you are, no matter what kind of life you have lived. If you come to Jesus Christ this morning, he will save you. And that moment that you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you are as much saved as you're ever going to be saved. There's nothing you need to add to it. You don't need to go out and do a bunch of good works. You don't need to join the church. You don't need to get baptized. You don't need to take communion. Now, I think all those things are good. I think you ought to take communion if you're a Christian. I think you ought to get baptized after you get saved. I think you ought to join a Bible-preaching church. But none of those things add anything to salvation. When you got saved, it was done. It was complete. Just like when you were born, everything was done. And then number four, birth is final. Here's what I mean by that. Adam Joshua Manning will always be my son. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter where he lives. It doesn't matter what job he has, who his friends are, what kind of car he drives, or anything else. From December 9th, 1981, till now, and for all time, he will always and forever be my son. I cannot change that. He cannot change that. None of you can change that. So it is. Listen to me, so it is with spiritual birth. Once we are born again, we become a child of God forever. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter where we live. It doesn't matter what job we have. It doesn't matter who our friends are. It doesn't matter what kind of house we live in. Once we are born again, once we get saved, we are forever and for all eternity a child of God. Amen? Amen. There's nothing that I can do to change that. There is nothing that God can do to change. You say, Brother Darrell, he's God. Can't he change anything he wants to? Not and be true to this book. And if he's not true to this book, he's not God. He says everlasting life. He says eternal life. Look, if you're here today and you think you've got to live up to it to keep it, if you think you've got to hold on to keep it, I feel sorry for you. I mean, I think we ought to live good lives, and I think we ought to be as good as we can and gooder even. But my goodness, my salvation is not dependent on me being good or gooder. My salvation is not dependent on my good works. My salvation is dependent on the one who died on the cross for my sins. That's the only thing that my salvation depends on. And he is everlasting forever and ever and ever. And so when I got saved, I became a child of God. Nothing I can do to change it. Nothing God can do to change it. Nothing you can do to change it. Nothing Satan can do to change it. He'll lie to us. I mean, when we get off the straight and narrow way, he'll come to us and he'll say, "You think you're still saved? Living like this, you think you're still a child of God? You listen to me. Just as you will always be a child of your father and mother by human birth, you will always be a child of God after you are born again. Amen, amen, amen. So the question is, will you be born again? Nicodemus asked a question. We didn't read it, but it's later on in John chapter 3. He said, how can that be? How can a man enter again and as a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, hey, look, you're a master of Israel. You're one of the teachers. And you don't understand what I'm saying? And then he said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, that's how you get born again. You believe that I am, Jesus talking, you believe that I am the Son of God. And you believe that what I'm going to do on Calvary, because it was still in the future when he was talking to Nicodemus, and you believe that what I'm going to do on Calvary is sufficient to pay for all your sins and make you right with God. Now, it's in our past. We can look back to it. We celebrated it this morning and pictured it in the Lord's Supper. How do you get born again? You don't enter into your mother's womb a second time. You believe that Jesus is God's Son. And you believe that when he died on Calvary, he paid the price for your sin. And if you ask him this morning, he'll save you. Amen. He'll save you. You can be born again. You can become a child of God. You can enter into the kingdom of heaven and be a citizen there forever and ever and ever and ever. Would you do that this morning? Would you? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Lord had you here for a purpose. He had you here to hear how to get saved, how to be born again, what it means. And so I pray that if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you'll do that right now. You can do it right where you sit. All you need to say is, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe the preacher when he says there's a penalty for that sin. And I believe him when he said that Jesus died for me. And Jesus, right now, I want to ask you to be my Savior. If you'll pray a prayer like that, he'll save you. Now look, we want to rejoice with you. The Bible says when a person gets saved, there's rejoicing in heaven, but there's also rejoicing down here. So if you pray that prayer in just a second, we want you to walk the aisle so that we can rejoice with you and tell you how glad we are that you made that decision. You might be here this morning. This might be the first time you heard what I've been talking about, and you might need some help. So in just a second, when we stand and sing, and you would say, hey, preacher, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, but I don't quite understand what I need to do. Well, then you come down. I'll have somebody talk to you one-on-one and help you understand what you need to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. That is so simple that even a child can understand it. And I pray, Father, that each person here, that first of all, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that right now they'll see their sin, they'll see the penalty for that sin, and Father, they would pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior. They would be born again. Father, most of us here this morning are Christians. Help us to rejoice what we have in our salvation. Help us to rejoice that it was complete and it's forever. And it was nothing that we did. It was everything that you did for us. Again, Father, I pray that folks that are here that don't know Christ would understand the only way they can get into heaven is to be born again. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I pray, Father, this morning that you'd help them come to Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.